Hi, I'm Jalen Rose, and welcome to the Renaissance Man podcast, proudly presented by the New York Post. Next up, we're revisiting a conversation I had with the legend in comedy and theater, David Alan Greer, who spent four seasons on the iconic TV show In Living Color and has appeared in classics like Boomerang, Jumanji, and A Different World. Coming up, I talked to David about winning a Tony Award, his experiences on In Living Color, and what it was like for him growing up in our hometown, the 313 Detroit City. Up next, David Alan Greer. Let's go.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hi, I'm Jalen Rose, and welcome to the Renaissance Man podcast, proudly presented by the New York Post, a show where we cover trends in fashion, entertainment, current events, and everything in between. Download the podcast, leave a five-star rating. This week, we're bringing you a throwback, some of that good old-fashioned soul food. A conversation I had with the great David Alan Greer. At the time we recorded this interview in 2021, I literally just gotten back from Doha, Qatar to get a preview of the preparations they were doing for the World Cup. And with this being Thanksgiving, I would like to share how thankful I am to be going back to Doha, Qatar. I'm going back to Doha, Qatar, in my LL, to be a part of the events. And I'm so very excited. I'm going to see Team USA play against Iran. We're going to see Spain play against Argentina. Look real closely at the TV. You might see me. I decided a few years ago that I needed to be more international. Yes, I'm always in Detroit, Miami, Atlanta, New York, and Los Angeles. But I need some more stamps in my passport. I need more time on an airplane to watch movies, to sleep, to travel, to explore. This trip is going to give me that opportunity, and I'm so very grateful. And my next guest is somebody that I'm grateful to have as a friend. David Alan Greer is a comedy legend who always finds a way to keep the audience laughing. Coming up, we'll look back at a discussion I had with David about growing up in Detroit, being friends with the legendary, iconic Aretha Franklin, and our hometown's undefeated Black Squirrels. Yeah, I said it. Up next, David Alan Greer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Jalen Rose, and welcome to the Renaissance Man podcast, proudly presented by the New York Post, a show where we cover trends in fashion, entertainment, current events, and everything in between. Our next guest is a legend. David Alan Greer has had iconic roles in movies and TV shows such as Boomerang, In Living Color, Jumanji, and The Carmichael Show. He's a successful stand-up comedian, every late-night show's favorite guest, and this year, my brother won a Tony Award for the best feature actor to play in his role as Waters in a soldier's play. It's an honor, my brother, to have you on the program. Please welcome David Alan Greer to the show.
How you doing? I've been a big fan of yours. You know how we kick it. Jalen and Jacoby is my go-to. It is my must. It is my everyday diet. So love you guys. First of all, before we kick off, I need to interview you, brother. You back from the Middle East?
Yes, I did. I did, man. Little kid from Detroit, gotten a chance to go over there. And it was incredible to just learn about a new culture. You know, like being from Michigan, we're exposed to the Muslim and the Arab culture because that's a primary home here in Detroit. So it was a great opportunity.
You know that Dearborn, I don't know if it's current, at one time had the highest, I think it was it Iraqi American community, the largest community in the country in Detroit. And what happened in the 90s is the sons and daughters of these immigrants, it was Detroit. So the kids got into hip hop, yet all of these classically trained Iraqi musicians who were their parents, their uncles, their aunts had flooded in and migrated to that area. And it was a strange mix. It was Detroit had its own sound. It was like it wasn't house. It was jungle house, Middle Eastern flavored craziness. It was wild.
That's what I was going to ask you. What was it like growing up in Detroit for you? And did you always know you wanted to act?
Well, first of all, I'm going to say I'm a generation before you. I'm 65. So I grew up in the 60s. I grew up prime Motown era. You know, I thought Detroit was next to New York or Paris. I mean, we had everything. We had the car industry. We had the hottest, the baddest music coming out of Detroit. We used to go to the Motown Review, WCHB, all of that. And experiencing as a kid, I just bought a vintage poster from the 1963 March, Martin Luther King Jr. It was called The Walk to Freedom. And I found a vintage poster. You know, my whole family, we marched that day. So those were my memories of Detroit. Of course, tinged with that was the riot in 67 and the city going through turmoil. But that's my home, you know, sticking with it. I always came back and tried to give back to my alma mater, Cass Tech. And I went to University of Michigan. And mostly the people haven't changed. You know, the bricks, the mortar may be shiny, it may be rusty, but at the heart of the cities, the people, they're always there. So.
Absolutely. And for you, like your career spent 40 years.
I can't believe you say that right, again. Right,
like 40 years, brother. You've been on Broadway, done comedy, done television shows. Like you're a legend. Like, have you always been funny? Did you have to study improv?
Bro, I'll put it like this. I hate when Black folks say this. You know, I've been acting my whole life. But Schultz Elementary School, Mrs. Van Otten, I must have been in fourth grade. I was a mess, man. She kicked me out. Now, you know, a class period is 40 minutes. I remember this one day she kicked me out four times. So that's only 10 minutes. She let me back in and I would just start acting stupid. Now, this was a time where people, our teachers, we would get paddled, hit you upside the head, smack you. Miss Van Otten never hit me. She never put hands on me because I think she liked me, but she couldn't stand me. I'd be having kids laughing and stuff. So it was natural progression if you really think about it.
And by the way, like
you being the class clown snowballed into you being a part of the iconic Living wow. Color. Like wow. that to me, for the history of comedy and skits and creativity and like so many collection of very talented human beings that like everything you guys have done has been cherry picked from that show. And so what are some of your favorite memories of the show? And what was it like taping that show with the Wayans
well,
family?
Well, you know, I met Keenan and Damon. I heard about the family through Robert Townsend. Robert Townsend and I were in Soldier's Story, the movie, and he and I shared a honey wagon. It was like this little mobile dressing room. So the first day I met him, and Robert and I's connection, like he's like one of those dudes, you meet him, and it was like we'd known each other forever. We were instant best friends. And he was telling all these jokes. He just had me rolling and crying. I'd never seen anybody as brilliantly funny. And I was like, oh my God. So halfway through that first day, he said, actually, those are my boys' jokes. I said, who's your boy? He said, Damon Wayans. He was doing Mo Money. He was doing all that. Antoine, mm-hmm. you know, Robert was doing all that. And then he started talking about Keenan. I said, well, who's Keenan? He said, that was his brother. Mm-hmm. And how they were going to start this movie company. And they had scripts and they had all kinds of stuff. He said, man, when you come out to LA, I was living in Detroit. I mean, in New York then. He said, we want you to be down. And I was like, these dudes are crazy. So that's really how I met the Wayans. So when I came into that pilot season, I met Kim, I met Damon, I met Keenan. By the way, Damon always had kids. I was like, dude, who are your kids? He said, man, I'm not sure. Back then, he looked like Marlon. He was real skinny. Damon was real skinny. And I saw these dudes. So we would hang out. I was not a comic then, man. You know, back then, my dream was I wanted to be a doctor on TV. You know, a lawyer on like, you know, one of those lawyers shows. Leroy, come here. Can you make this case? Yes, I'll do. Mr. Rose, have a seat. You right. know, that was my thing. But he said,
syndicated beyond forever.
Yeah. Well, man, but Keenan sat me down. He said, man, nobody knows how funny you are. I want you to do this show, man. And my agents didn't want me to do it. They were like, why you want to be on a show with a bunch of other black folks? There's crabs in the barrel. No, we're not going to do this. And so I auditioned that year for, it must have been 30 pilots, all kind of stuff. I didn't get none of them. So finally, at the end of the year, I went back to my agents and I just said, oh, we're going to make this deal. Because I knew all my friends were on In Living Color. You know, they're like, but you're not going to make any money. And, you know, all this stuff. I said, I don't care. I want you to make this deal. So I was still in New York. We did the pilot. And that's my dog. And that's really what happened. And I went back because the pilot was done a year before we got picked up. And we were waiting. And before the pilot, I had gone back to New York and I'd said no three times. I just said no. And Kim Wayans called me and she it was like an intervention, a pep talk, everything. She said, this is the wrong decision. You are making a wrong turn in your life. You got to come and do this show. And she talked me into it. And I finally said yes. And that changed everything. It really did.